the readings, well, the reading is in three parts this morning. The first part, we're going to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 7, which you'll find on page 864 in the Church Bible. Reading from chapter 7, we're going to look first of all at verses 9 and 10, and then on to 13 and 14. Daniel, the visionary, sees a trustworthy heavenly order behind the chaos that envelops God's people. And this is the vision of the one who has been living forever. Daniel. While I was looking, thrones were put in place. One who had been living forever sat down on one of the thrones. His clothes were white as snow, and his hair was like pure wool. His throne, mounted on fiery wheels, was blazing with fire, and a stream of fire was pouring out from it. There were many thousands of people there to serve him, and millions of people stood before him. The court began its session, and the books were opened. During this vision in the night, I saw what looked like a human being. He was approaching me, surrounded by clouds, and he went to the one who had been living forever and was presented to him. He was given authority, honor, and royal power, so that the people of all nations, races, and languages would serve him. His authority would last forever, and his kingdom would never end. Well, we're going to jump now right to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, written by John the Elder. This is on page 309. In the New Testament part of the Church Bible. John the Elder sees the dependable ways of heaven revealed in Jesus, God's faithful witness. Reading from chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Greetings to the seven churches. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace be yours from God, who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits in front of his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first to be raised from death, and who is also the ruler of the kings of the world. He loves us, and by his sacrificial death, he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To Jesus Christ be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All peoples on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. Right, now we're going to go back a bit to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at chapter 18 and read from verses 33 to 37, which can be found on page 142 of the Church Bible. In this gospel, Jesus makes little impression on Pilate, who represents the powerful rule of Rome. But Jesus' weakness reveals God's true strength. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 33. Pilate went back into the palace and called Jesus. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus answered, "Does this question come from you, or have others told you about me?" Pilate replied, "Do you think I am a Jew? It was your own people and the chief priests who handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. No, my kingdom does not belong here." So Pilate asked him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The book of Daniel is generally thought to be the last book in the Old Testament to be written, dating from between 167 and 164 BC. At this time, Jews were living under Hellenistic ruler of Syria, and he was seeking to impose the Greek language, customs, and culture on the peoples under his control. The writer of the book takes the name of Daniel and writes as if he were living several centuries earlier in Babylon at the time of the exile of the Jews, when they were also suffering under the persecution and oppression of the pagan king Belshazzar. Daniel wanted to console and encourage his readers. In chapter 7, he describes a vision of a heavenly throne room, from where the world was ruled. Heaven and earth were not separated by death, but were two sides of a single reality. Can we see perhaps one of the pictures of heaven? And various artists over the years have portrayed heaven. And we'll be seeing some more as I speak further. The book of Revelation was written by a Christian leader called John, who was exiled for his faith to the island of Patmos in the Aegean. It seems to have been written about AD 95, during the reign of the Emperor Domitian. An earlier Roman emperor, Vespasian, had issued an edict condemning to death all those who refused to worship the image of the divine emperor. Domitian continued and intensified the persecution and killing of Christians. John calls on all Christians to resist this edict at the risk of their earthly lives. He is concerned about the faith of his fellow Christians, particularly the ones in Asia Minor, which is the western part of modern Turkey. He is worried that their loyalty to Jesus may be threatened by Roman imperial rule and the pressure to fit in with non-Christian beliefs and values and attend pagan ceremonies. I'm sure we can all think of examples in our own daily lives where we are pressurized to fit in with the various activities going on which perhaps we don't feel are right as Christians. Although, fortunately, in this country, we're not going to be put to death if we don't do what we're told to do. The early Christians, John states, needed to resist the intimidation, assimilation, and compromise which would lead to an earthly life, to an easier life, and to take comfort in the prospect of an everlasting afterlife, which was one thing that Christianity could offer, which none of the other religions of the time could. There are many parallels with the book of Daniel, both being written at a time of persecution. Accounts of the risen Christ in the book of Revelation draw on ideas in Daniel to show that Israel's God is not like an imperial ruler who will die, but he will live forever as the true Lord. We often read about grace and peace in the books of the New Testament. The Roman Emperor believed that peace would come as a result of his military victories. According to the writer of Revelation, peace on earth came from Jesus. Jesus, who was crucified by the Romans. Jesus was God's faithful witness. Jesus' victory over death achieved what no earthly ruler could. However dispirited or weak Christians might feel, they are part of God's new order of holiness and part of an everlasting kingdom. In our all-age worship earlier, we saw how various different objects can be associated with both heavenly and earthly kingdoms. When a monarch is crowned, he or she sits on a throne and is given various objects, such as an orb and scepter, and crown and robes, symbolizing their royal power. And some of these objects are mentioned by various writers throughout the Bible. But here, of course, they are referring to the kingdom of God. John's Gospel is now generally thought to have been written around the end of the first century, either by a follower of the disciple of John, who, according to tradition, lived to a great age, or possibly by a church leader in Ephesus. We heard earlier in chapter 18 how Jesus appeared before Pontius Pilate, who was the representative of the Roman imperial power. The Romans ruled the Jewish lands in the first century AD, either through the procurator Pilate in Jerusalem and Judea, or through the puppet Herodian kings in the lands to the east and north, such as Galilee. Jesus' interrogation by Pilate questions where is the ultimate source of authority. Is it with the earthly Roman Empire, or is it in heaven? Both Pilate and Jesus refer to kingship, but they mean different things. Jesus is presented to Pilate as the King of the Jews, the latest in the line of kings, starting with Saul and David and Solomon, and going on right up to Herod and his sons. But Jesus said that his rule is different. His authority is not based on earth, but comes from heaven and the truth of God. The Jewish priests and other leaders in Jerusalem were able to exercise their authority thanks to permission from the Romans. The Romans didn't object to local religious practices as long as the Roman secular rule was accepted. The Jewish priests wanted to find some way to have Jesus executed so that he would no longer threaten their authority and their interests. The Romans were not, however, interested in local religious disputes, except where they might threaten the Roman peace. Pilate only wanted to remind people in Jerusalem where the real power was in the Jews' holy city. He uses Jesus to force the Jews to admit that they have no king but Caesar. Pilate was also aware that the Jewish leaders could cause trouble for him back in Rome if they sent an adverse report. And in fact, this did happen several years later, and Pilate was recalled to Rome. So, having made his point on the authority of Roman power, Pilate settled for peace and quiet and agreed to the execution of Jesus. In the account in John's Gospel, Jesus avoids earthly ideas of power. He refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Remember, we saw the picture of the sheep. Echoing ideas from the prophet Ezekiel of a new shepherd ruler who would come to liberate God's people. But Jesus' Good Shepherd was no fighting king. He chose to lay down his life for his sheep. This is the true kingship, which of course Pilate failed to understand. Jesus and Pilate's conversation shows the difference in ideas about the nature of kingship and what power meant to both of them, something very different. In the Roman Empire, absolute power was exercised from the top down. Jesus' power came from the devotion and obedience of his followers, choosing to follow God's way. It is not that Jesus had more power than the emperor, but that his power is shown in a different way. How do we see power exercised by political and religious leaders around the world and by people that we know? How does Christianity affect how we believe power should be exercised? Do we use our power to dominate and instruct, as many secular leaders do, and some religious leaders around the world also? Or do we use our powers to help other people? How honest are we in how we project ourselves, our own image? Do we present an honest view? In an era of mass media, people come to idealize themselves on Facebook, for example, changing their abilities, their personality, and their interests. And they even Photoshop their image in order to be more attractive to others and to gain personal advantage. We've heard quite a lot about fake news in recent years, particularly from one political leader. Real news can be discerned as fake if it suits someone to call it fake. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus is the truth, and if we want to be part of that truth, we will listen to the voice of Jesus. How can we let the truth of Jesus help us to be more truthful? How will this change our daily lives? We are not instructed to worship the image of the Roman emperor as the early Christians were, but we still face many challenges in our daily lives as we seek to resist the many temptations of the secular world. We're now in the final week of the church year. Next week is the beginning of Advent, as we look back to the birth of Jesus and forward to his return. Stories in Daniel, Revelation, and the Gospels encourage us both to look back and to look forward. As we think of the life and achievements of Jesus Christ, the King, we can consider what our spiritual progress has been and what God has planned for us in the coming year. Amen.